Hey friends, in today's episode, I'm going to be interviewing Morris Coons. He will be sharing some advice when it comes to relationships with our children and also relationships within the family. So grab that iced coffee and let's dive in. Welcome to the Manifesting Mother Hustler podcast. The purpose of this podcast is to help women like you create massive quantum shifts, to attract the life that you desire to live, to put a stop to all your limiting beliefs and help you become the queen of your life that you have always desired to be. Are you ready for this? Let's get it. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. So I have a very special guest today. I have Mr. Morris here with us, and he's going to be talking about some relationship advice, not just with relationship with our kids, but also relationship with our partners, with our family. I feel like relationship advice is like something we all need advice on in relationships.
Yeah.
So yes, I feel like he's an expert. I feel like he's an expert. He may not think he's an expert, but to me, I just feel like he's full of so much knowledge.
Yeah. Thank you. And I'm feeling like overwhelmed with gratitude right now because that's the first time anyone said I'm a special.
Really? Oh my gosh. You guys, and I've known this guy. I don't even know how long. Long have we known each other? Like 10 years now, maybe?
Probably pretty darn.
Like 9 years.
Yeah.
Just like the relationship guy.
Yeah. Even though we met in a different arena.
Yeah.
That's where our conversations always gravitated to.
Mm-hmm.
As we got to know each other better, that's what we would talk about rather than, you know, old business stuff.
It's true. Well, I feel like with a lot of people too. I feel like I'm not the only one that thinks that about you.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of people do. But anyways.
Well, it's something that I've studied for almost 30 years now. So about 28 years ago, I did my first experiential transformational workshop, right? And at that moment, I was like, oh man, these people are nuts, but I can't wait to come back, right? There was something that kept calling me back to do the work and to do the work and to do the work. And so just this last year, I finished up managing the Advanced Leaders Program for my OG mentor, who is a really good friend of mine now. And so, but the interesting thing is my training has now evolved to a much different place that I'm really excited about to integrate this with the healing work that I've done over the years.
Well, I feel like it, with relationships, you have to do a lot of healing within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of how you act with people has to do with yourself.
Yeah.
You know, well, and you know that more than anyone, you know.
I don't know anyone.
But you know that. You know, I think it's just really important to have that relationship with yourself as well, so you can be better in relationships all around.
Yeah.
I mean, do you agree?
Yeah. Absolutely. And it's like the thing that I love that I've learned the most is to reflect and take feedback. Right? Because it's like feedback isn't always easy to take.
No, it's not.
Right? But it's like, if we really take a look at life, we are getting feedback 24/7, right? And we can either resist it, get in the way, or we can be open to what's coming in front of us, right? And it's like, so I went through a breakup last summer that really, it was a heartbreak experience, and I've been through them before, but this one just really, it really got me to pay attention to some things that I wasn't able to see before. And I love that it did this because it just aligned me into a different training, which now I have all the skills that I've learned for a long time. Now I can combine it with what I'm doing. And I honestly, when I look back at all of the healing and spirituality work that I've done, this is the missing ingredient. And I'm really excited to be pairing these together now.
That's awesome. That was, I can relate. Yeah. I think a lot of us can relate.
I like how you just lowered your voice. Right?
A lot of us can relate. Before we started the recording, I was telling Morris, I'm like, hey, most of the people that will listen to this episode are women that most likely, I mean, we're still trying to figure out relationships. Women who are also moms trying to navigate through the relationship world.
Yeah.
Not just with our kids, but with even finding a partner. And it's a lot, right? It's a lot to juggle because I feel like
we communicate different with our kids versus with our partner. So I don't know. Do you have any advice on that? Like how to be better communicators with our kids and also how, well, let's start with that one first. Let's start with that one.
Yeah. I look back at my upbringing, you'll probably relate to this. And I think everybody else will too, is like, we were just expected to know.
Yes.
From wrong.
There was no book. I feel like this is what they need to teach us in school, like how to be better communicators.
Right.
But like, that's not a thing.
Yeah. So it's like, when your upbringing is basically, don't do that.
Yeah.
Right. That's all the instruction we got. And so we already did it by the time we got told not to do it. Right. And so it was just a series of mistakes and feedback. That's how we were raised, right?
Right.
And most of the feedback we got was extreme and negative. And, sometimes you got your ass whipped. And, it's like, and half the time you didn't even know you were doing something wrong, but you got punished for it, because that old school upbringing, like they didn't mess around with feelings and emotions.
It was fear-based.
They just
smacked you. Don't do that. Or it was always like some kind of punishment. Yeah. So it was all fear-based.
You were expected to submit all the time.
Yes. Right?
And nobody likes that. So it's like, first of all, I think one of the things with all relationships, whether it be a partner or kids, our parents, our friends, decide what kind of relationship you want.
Yeah.
Right. And we leave it to happenstance, right? We just like, we raise our kids. We don't think about what's the end goal. What do we want? How do we support this child to become what they want?
Right? Oh, that's such a good point, you guys. Because I don't think I've ever set a goal for myself. I'm like, what is my goal with my daughter? That is so good.
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever, because I'm not going to say, well, okay. We just don't really hear of it enough.
Yeah.
Like, set goals for what kind of parent you want to be or like how you want to raise your child. Yeah. It's always like, set your goals for money, set your goals for your fitness, right? Your fitness, health, whatever. Rarely do I ever think like, no, I need to set a goal for what type of parent I want to be. How do I want to raise my daughter?
Mm-hmm.
That is so good. There, you guys go do that right now. Yes.
Well, I think that's important. And also like we can say, well, I want my child to turn out this way. But that really doesn't even include the child in that decision, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like we could still be forcing a little bit. And this is one of the reasons I think
we're... manipulate in a way, right?
Yeah, it is manipulation, right? But I think this is one of the reasons we're having a mass exodus in people going to college. Because people going to college are realizing that a lot of what they learned isn't valuable, right?
Yeah.
It's just like they're going because they thought they had to. They're going because, it will impress their mom or dad or, maybe I'll get this great job or whatever. But most of the time, they're not passionate about it. And you get a lot of these greats that are making tons of money that are influencers. A huge percentage of them are like, screw college, right? I tried up for a minute and it sucked and so I'm out. Or they just didn't even go because they are making a lot more money doing what they're doing. And, I'm not saying don't go to college, but it's like if you're going, go very intentional to learn specific things because they tend to, even in elementary school and junior high and high school, they teach us a lot of things that we'll never, ever revisit in our life, right? And it's like it's like a babysitting place for the parents so that they can get the parents to go to work. And someone takes care of the kids, but then they are conditioning your kids to turn out how the system wants them.
They're turning them into employees.
Yes.
You guys have ever read the book Dumbing Us Down? That's a great book.
And it's true. Yes. They are turning us into robots to do what the system wants us to do. And I don't even want to get into that conversation, whether it's good, bad, right, or wrong, but it is what it is right now.
Yeah.
Right. And so how do we respond to where we're at right now? And so I think like coming back to, setting goals with our kids, involving your kid in that, like what lights your kid up? Because as well as I do, if your kid doesn't like going to bed, it's a chore to get them to go to bed. Right. And so how do we design a life for our kids that is something that lights them up? right? Because if you can get your child to be in a place where they're lit up most of the day, and then you also include bedtime into their goals about and show them how it supports what they're trying to create in the world, I think having them go to bed will be a lot easier because now they understand the program rather than being forced to go to bed like it's a punishment.
Right.
Right. And if we can enroll them in every step of the way, include them in all of their decision, all of the decisions, this is why, this is why. Take the time to explain it to our kids. Like, and a lot of people might say, well, gosh, that takes a lot of time and blah, blah, blah. But how much time do we spend?
Yeah.
And how much energy do we spend trying to get the child to succumb to what our desires are? Right. And so if we do the work on the front end and get them to understand, guess what? Not only does that help them get what they want, it shows them how to live their life moving forward so that they're ready when they're 18 or 21 or whatever, when they go out on their own, they're equipped to make their decisions and see how all of these things support their life moving forward when they become an adult.
Yeah, I can relate to all that. And something that came to mind when you were talking about bedtime, you know, sometimes, most of the time, kids really just want an explanation. They just want to know why they're going to do something.
Yeah.
And that's my daughter. And I've been guilty of just telling her, you know what, just do this. Don't ask questions. And honestly, that takes a lot more effort because then she fights back.
Yeah.
Versus like, here's what we're going to do. Here's why we do it. Like, it does take time for me to explain it to her, but then it becomes easier for her to just do because then she has a reason why. Mm-hmm. Like, if we don't know why are we going to do it?
Yeah.
You know, and that, I mean, if you put yourself too in their shoes, like if somebody's telling you to do something, but there's no good reason behind it,
yeah,
why are you going to do it? Like, there's no real reason. So I think as human beings, we want, you know, a why. We want answers as to why we're going to do something. Mm-hmm. Not just because somebody tells us to do it, we're going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. That mentality is old school as a mofo.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's like just doing it. And that's the way I was conditioned.
That's how I was saying.
Right. And yeah. And so it's like, just do it. Okay. You know, don't want dad to whoop me again. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, but that's not any fun. And that teaches us kind of a negative outlook on life.
Yeah.
Because we are looking at what we have to avoid in order to survive rather than what we can connect with to thrive, right? And it's a massive mind shift. If I can, I'd like to share a story of something I learned. So several years ago, three of my sons were heroin users, and it was a difficult space for all of them, for the family, and you know, In those times, you wonder if you'll get that phone call. And fortunately, I never got the phone call, and all of my boys survived that. And as far as I know, none of them are using heroin anymore. But there was this one point in time where my oldest son was pretty deep into it. And I wanted to, like, support my kids as much as I could, but I also didn't want to enable them. And so I was going through this big mind fuck about, like, how do I show up for my kids and not enable them to continue to do drugs, you know, because they're asking for money and stuff like that. And of course I want to help, and I've got grandkids, and I've got, you know,
yeah.
And so I want to be the best support I can, but I had a few experiences that made me realize, oh yeah, you just enabled them. You just helped them get one more day's fix. Right. And so I was really in this grinding about this. And my mentor at the time, he reached out to me and he's like, Morris, what's going on? I'm feeling you today. And I'm like, yeah, I'm just really grinding on this. And I shared with him the story. And he's like, Morris, what is your job as a parent? And I'm like, okay, be a good example and teach them what's right and wrong. And, you know, I list out these four or five really noble answers, right? And he's like, Morris, what is your job as a parent? And I'm like, wow, I didn't get the right answer before. Okay, here's some more noble answers. And so I gave him a few more answers. And he's like, Morris, your job as a parent is to love on your child. I'm like, oh, like, all right, man. It's going to take me a minute to wrap my head around this, but I'm giving it a possibility because I trust you. And so I'm really sitting with this for a couple of days. And then I was listening to Dr. Wayne Dyer. And he was quoting this from somewhere else. And it's this quote, and a lot of people have probably heard this, but it says something like, "Do you really think these are your children? Children are a product of life's longing for itself." And I was just like, damn. And putting those two things together, because as a parent, we attach our image to how our kids are acting, behaving, yeah. growing up, what they turn out to be like, right?
Yeah.
We're so attached to that. If they screw up, we're like, oh, I'm a shitty parent. I must suck. You don't want your friends to see. You know what I mean? We kind of hide that. But this specific instance made me realize that I could let go of all of the stuff that I had attached to them and just love the shit out of them. And the thing that I love about that, children are a product of life's longing for itself. What that says is life is going to take care of your children. They're always going to be taken care of. I mean, granted, I mean, life has plans that we can't control. Like, you know, sometimes our kids have things happen that are out of our control, of course. But when we try and take the reins away from our kids and say, I can drive this horse better than you can, we're saying, you're not as powerful as me. You're not as smart as me, and you're not capable of doing this on your own, right? And therefore, we're teaching our child that they have to be below authority,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And so it's like, yeah, we all have authority that we have to deal with in life, right? I mean, you know, we got cops and government and stuff like that. And you know, if you're out in public and you're acting out too much, well, you might get your ass whooped in public too, right?
Yeah.
So there are things that help govern us, but I don't feel like we should teach our child that they always have to be under authority and that they can't figure it out for themselves, right? I think that weakens them.
That's good. Something I'm going to add to that, what he said. So I just, 2 weeks ago, I finished The Mastery of Love. I think that's what it's called. It's by I can't remember his name, but he wrote The Four Agreements.
Mm.
So
is that Miguel?
Yes, something like that. But in that book, it actually talks about, it gives an example about children and something very similar to what you just said. When you try to let's say you don't believe your child can do something and then you try to take over, that's actually type of like you're not respecting your child.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm trying to, you know, do something for MJ that I don't believe she can do just to help her because I think I'm a loving mother, that is actually me not respecting my own child. So it's really cool the way he puts it in words. Like, it's just so deep. I don't remember like exactly what he said, but it was very, very similar to that. It's a form of disrespect towards your children because you do not believe in them. And in a way, they feel it. Actually, they do feel it. I'm not even saying in a way they feel it. They feel it.
Yeah.
I know my daughter feels it. Like, if I do that, she gets irritable. Like, she does not like me to do things for her.
Yeah.
Because in her mind, she doesn't think I believe in her, even though I'm coming at it from a different perspective of like, I do it because I love you. But am I doing it because I love her? Or am I really doing it because I don't believe that she's going to be able to do it?
Right.
So that's a great point.
Or do you just want to control it to her?
Exactly. Exactly. Right. Yeah.
And show them the right way.
Show them the right way. Or your perspective of the right way. Because there's so many right ways. And even if it's not perfect, it can still be right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always that like the mama bear being like, no, let me do it for you. Yeah. Let me show you how to do it. But
yeah. I love that because it's like,
and you have to be aware of it too.
Yeah.
When you're doing it, it's like you have to be aware because you can do it
totally
and not even realize that you did it until like a week later, and you're like, oh
yeah,
I did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My heart goes out to all of the mothers. I mean, there are so many single women that do a lot of this on their own, and I totally like get it that there is a lot on their plate. And so I know that this can be difficult, right? And so the moms do want to just get it done, and they don't want to have all the extra stuff. It's like they can barely manage what's happening in the household without all the chaos of kids, right? But I think if you know, moms or dads could push in the clutch for a minute and just like view the whole scope of things and start to learn how to enroll their kids into things rather than always be at odds with the kids. Mm-hmm. How much time will end up saving them and the stress, and you know, it starts bringing the family together rather than divide, right? So the program I'm in creation of right now is the older child parent-child relationship, right? What happens to families when the parents are controlling, right? And I'm not saying the kids are little angels and stuff, but generally kids are acting out because of the way they're being parented, the way they're being controlled. We all know that from our own upbringing, when we had the moments where we could rebel, when we became rebels in the instance our parents walked out or whatever, you know, not everybody, but a lot of us did, right?
Yeah.
And you see those rebellions and people walking around with that unresolved resentment and stuff like that with their parents. And that's what happens when we forcefully parent the kids, is that it creates the divide, because the child didn't come here to live our life.
Right.
They came here to live their life and learn what they came to learn and have their own mission, their own purpose.
Hmm. Well, and with that, just to piggyback off of what he said, also, and you can tell me if you agree or not, but it's not even, at least this is what I think, sometimes it's not even just, like, you can tell your kid to do something, but if you're not doing it, well, they can feel the energy, I guess that's what I'm trying to say. So if I tell you not to lie, but then I'm lying, is the child going to listen to what I'm saying, or like actually what they see me, you know, exercise?
Right.
So I feel like there's a lot of that as well, of like, don't talk back behind somebody's back. And then, you know, the child hears a parent talk behind a person's back.
Yeah.
So it's like, which one's going to be the most influential?
Yeah.
What you say to the child or what you actually do in front of the child?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And that, you know, we do stuff like we tell our little white lies in family situations, right? Like, oh, I'm not going to come to the party because my kids like...
And then we're like, yeah, don't lie.
And our kids are like, what? You know, they hear us tell those lies, even though it's like, you know, a lie that doesn't really matter that much. We're in a society
it can have a compound effect. Yeah. That lie, it just starts with one little thing, one little thing, and then the next one, and the next one, and it just gets bigger. Yeah.
And you know, I don't know if you've noticed this, but in recent times, the kids are getting brighter,
mm-hmm.
more willing to tell the truth, not succumb. Like the kids are being more, just more sharp and in tune with the divine, with spirit. And they didn't come here to take shit. They came here to change the world.
I have this theory of it's my own theory. I make up my own theories all the time. But I just feel like the souls that are coming to Earth right now are just very, very old. Very old souls. Very wise beyond anything that I think we give them credit for. Because my daughter says things that I'm like, I know for sure when I was 7 years old, I did not anything she was talking about right now, like she'll be talking about like God, the divine energy, angels. And I'm like, girl, I was talking about Barbies.
Yeah.
I was not talking about any of that at her age.
Yeah.
So for sure. Yeah. They're way smarter.
Yeah.
Smarter, more intuitive.
Which is great, because, I mean, in a way, it creates chaos in the system we are accustomed to.
Oh, yes.
Right?
So it breaks the pattern.
Yeah.
It breaks a type of pattern.
Which is great, because, like, all of the conditioning we've had, it helped us in our survival mode, and it kept some structure and order mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But as we can see right now in what's happening in the world, it's just not working anymore. We have to be willing to be open to change. And the interesting thing is, when we are trying to be open to change and look at new things and create new patterns, it creates chaos for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And so it makes us want to cling to the old, because that's what the familiar is. That's, even if it's a familiar misery.
Yeah, we're scared. We're scared of something new, because it's the unknown. We don't know it.
And so I think it's certainly time for like hoping everybody starts to realize that it's time for change, like massive change. Like we have so much going on that is like destroying the family foundation in America and maybe even in the world, right? And I think it's time for us to find the new paradigms and find the things that will work and help create more order, but higher levels of order where it's choosing in versus succumbing, right? We have a law and order that is mostly succumbing, right? You better do this or you're going to get fined or you'll go to jail or you're going to lose this or you'll get fired or whatever. And so it's like, I think it's important for everybody to focus on, you know, raising their own levels of consciousness right now and seeing, like, we've been taught in America that about self, like, what am I going to get? What, you know,
the ego.
I'm going to make a bunch of money. And as long as I make my money, I've got my nice car and my nice house, then it doesn't matter about everybody else. And we've lost touch with the whole. And just in raising your own family, if you can step back and look at the whole organization of the family and say, you know, how can I improve my structure and include the kids, get them to choose in? Say it's like your mini structure of the world you're creating right here. And then also teaching that we are all part of the one, the massive, right? And everybody contributes to the collective. And if we can get more people to choose in with a higher level of awareness and consciousness about what we're trying to create right now versus all of us fighting about gender and equality and
there's all bigger of that things.
Kind of stuff, right?
Like
literally, if we could all step back from all those little issues that have been introduced into our societies and look and from a place of love and have a different perspective, all of those little things will work themselves out, right?
For sure.
Because
for sure.
People are fighting their own little cause, but they're fighting from the thing that hasn't been healed or resolved in them yet, right? And they're trying to get people on board with it, and they're fighting, but you can never fight for respect and get what you want.
I feel like everybody wants the same thing, but everybody is like fighting a different battle. But like, if you guys were to just like put everybody in one room, everybody would be fighting probably for more love.
Yeah,
I bet you everybody that would probably be like, the same thing, but it was just expressed in a total different way. Yeah. Everybody's expressing themselves in very different little wars. But at the end of the day, we just want peace. We want love. We want union. But just the way we're going about it, I don't think it's like the best. I think we can definitely do better. But at the end of the day, it's like, it's the same thing. We all want the same thing. I don't think it's any different, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree.
Hey, you guys, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Stay tuned for part 2, which will be dropping later this week. Also, don't forget to leave a review. I would love to know how this podcast is changing your life in any way or form. Until next time.